The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I've got a big surprise for you. Is the surprise that I'm in a hotel room in Dallas? No, that's not the surprise. The big surprise is my guest right now, Sean Foyt, F-E-U-C-H-T, Foyt. Sean Foyt, welcome to this program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Honored to
Listen,
be here.
You need to get a haircut, my friend, okay? Jesus didn't have long hair. What's wrong with you? I'm so excited to meet you. There are many people who know you and what you've been doing, and there are many people who don't. And so I'm excited for both of those groups. Why don't you tell my audience, if you can, what you've been doing, who you are, and why you and I are doing something together in New York City on July 3rd. I am so excited I get to be a part of that because I'm a New Yorker. But tell my audience, Sean, what you do.
Well, for probably the last 20 years, I've been really focused as more of a missionary to some of the hardest and darkest places in the world, including Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, North Korea, a lot of these places the Lord sent us into. Well, fast forward to when COVID happened, America just erupted, you know, not only in a tyrannical government that was, you know, suppressing our rights, not allowing the church to gather, but also, you know, you have this unrest, the rioting, all the crazy stuff. And we really felt like the Lord had called our assignment in that season to America. So we started an accidental movement, meaning that we didn't have this grandiose plan or strategy. We just really, it was July 9th, it was the day after the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said you can't sing in church any longer, which was so outrageous to me. Not really the fact that he said that because he's crazy, but the fact that people were actually abiding by that, that people were complying.
That's kind of the key, isn't it? Like anybody can say any crazy thing, but when people go, oh, okay, that's when the trouble starts.
Yeah. And that's when I started to realize, okay, this is wild. And not only is it unconstitutional, it's unbiblical, goes against everything we believe. And I've spent enough time with the persecuted underground church, you know, to where when that was happening and the churches were shutting down, they were all messaging me saying, hey, Sean, you got to do something here. You spent too much time with us in our countries and learned too much about, you know, the church responding in situations like that. So we did, we gathered, it was spontaneous. On the Golden Gate Bridge, I threw up a post on Instagram, didn't know if anyone would come. 400 people showed up. The San Francisco Police Department showed up. They were great to us. They blocked off a whole lane on the Golden Gate Bridge. We worshiped on the in the middle of the bridge and declared some crazy stuff over America. What if in this darkest time that God was birthing a new Jesus people movement? The next day, we were in Huntington Beach, California. 1,000 people showed up on the beach. The next day, we were in San Diego. 5,000 people showed up in San Diego. And so really, this movement was born at really the height of COVID, the lockdowns, everything. And now we've just shifted to another gear of revival. And we are so excited. We're coming up on, I think this tomorrow in Montgomery, Alabama, will be city number 100. And this is the first time I've ever announced that. We're hitting our 100th city.
So this will be the 18th of June in Montgomery, Alabama. Now, I still cannot get over the fact that you are coming to New York City on the 3rd of July. And I am flying back on a 7 a.m. flight. Can I tell you how much my flesh hates you, Sean Foyt? Because I got to fly back. But I'm going to be in Kansas City with Mike Bickle and the whole crazy gang. And Ken Fish, And I said, there is no way I will miss this event.
Come on.
Born in, that my daughter's born in, that we live in, because New York needs Jesus badly. So the fact that you and Jake Koopman have reached out to me and to my friend Ken Fish and that you're doing this, I said, we have to tell my audience, if you can get to New York, and by the way, it's the Bronx, New York. We're going to put this information out, but anybody who can get there, you can drag anybody you want. This is just going to be beautiful and crazy. And I'm so excited. This is July 3rd, folks, in the Bronx, in New York City. And Sean, like you've done these events, you just said, you know, it's going to be your 100th city. But before this, you were all around the world with your family in danger zones. So what are some of the places that you have been to before COVID hit and America became the mission field? Where have you and your family been?
Oh, man, we've probably been to close to 70 countries. You know, a lot of those many times. My daughter, I think she's 10. She's been to probably 40. So, yeah, we've gone to a lot of places around the world. But our heart really, you know, we have a couple different projects that we have around the world that are ongoing. We have a project in Iraq with the Kurds and the Yazidis and the refugees really from ISIS. So we've been there before ISIS, the height of ISIS, and now we're still there. We have another project in India where we're rescuing, I think we've rescued about 876 children from temple prostitution. We've really focused on the outer-lying remote villages where the Hindu radicals are selling kids into the temple prostitution trade. And so we've done a lot of that. You know, I've been to India 24 times. I've been to Iraq probably 15. Of course, we've been in, you know, as I mentioned before, China, North Korea, had a couple trips into Saudi Arabia. Our heart really burns for really the remote, dark, unreached, hard places. That's something that we've just always had a heart for. And, you know, until COVID happened, I didn't really have a heart for America, to be honest with you. But, you know, I have four little kids and, you know, as I look at them and as I look at the society, the culture, that they're going to inherit, it just makes me crazy. Like we have to do something. We have to take a stand. And so that's why the Lord sent us into the heartbeat of Portland during the riots. We went into CHOP, the autonomous zone in Seattle, which is pretty much as crazy as a Middle Eastern country during war. I have to tell you that when we went into CHOP,
because very few people can believe what you just said. I happen to follow you a little bit, so I'm aware of this. You went into CHOP, CHAZ, the fake wacko autonomous zone. I mean, this is sheer lunacy being played out in geography that people, they pretended that they took it over and they made an autonomous, as if you could do that in the United States of America. But the point is, they were doing this. It was dangerous. It was scary. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. People were getting raped. You went in there and preached the gospel and led worship.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. I mean, not just me. Listen, the Church of the Pacific Northwest showed up. We had over 3,000 people that showed up in CHOP, and we took over the Capitol Hill. I mean, you could watch it on YouTube. It was wild. And, you know, it was, what was powerful is the pastors that were with me were so culturally diverse. You know, I had Hispanic, African-American, Asian pastors. And so, you know, there was a large BLM group of that was really violent that was there. There was Antifa, there were groups of Satanists. But when I had the African-American pastors preaching Jesus, forgiveness, repentance to the BLM activists, they didn't know what to do. They've never heard anything like that. You know, it was so profound. And we actually had one of the Satanists give their life to Jesus. We baptized them right there in CHOP. And, you know, it started to get really, really hairy towards the end. The Antifa guys got really aggressive. And so we ended up having to, after about 2.5 hours, we ended up kind of dissipating. But it was a powerful night and one I'll never forget.
I'm just astonished, you know, to see what God is doing. And for me, this happens to me over and over in my life. Like I'm astounded by something, but then I'm further astounded by the fact that the news is not covering it and nobody knows about it. I can't think of any bigger thing to cover than what you've just been sharing with us. Most people listening to this program don't know anything about it. Most people who don't listen to this program definitely don't know about it. So it's just a huge blessing to have you. We're going to keep you over, do another segment with you. Sean Foyt. The biggest thing I have learned right now is how to pronounce Foyt. F-O-F-E-U-H-T. Foyt.
C-H-T. Oh,
we'll be right back with Sean Foyt. Don't forget, July 3rd, New York City.
Love is a burning thing. And it makes...
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? Vivalore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created Vivalore Memory Support. Vivalore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit Vivalore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. Vivalore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's Vivalore, Vivalore.com. Check it out. Remember, Vivalore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. Vivalore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at Vivalore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. Vivalore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com.
Folks, welcome back. I am talking to Sean Foyt, F-O-Y-T. No, it sounds like F-O-Y-T, but it's F-E-U-C-H-T, Foyt. Sean, you realize that that's the German pronunciation. We would say Foyt, I think, right?
Exactly. Wait, Sean, that's correct.
The headline here is that you are coming with Jake Koopman to New York City, which is our city, and we are thrilled, and I'm thrilled I get to be a part of it. It's going to be in the Bronx. The information will be out posted on social media. But I just want to know your background. Where did you grow up, and how did you come to be the person that you are doing what you're doing? What is your background?
You know, my parents were full-time medical missionaries, and my dad had a dermatology practice, went on one mission trip, I think to Romania when I was a little kid, and just got bit with the missions bug. And so we ended up moving from Montana, which is where I grew up, to Virginia Beach. And my dad worked for an organization called Operation Blessing. And he helped design a plane called the Flying Hospital, which basically was a plane that landed in undeveloped countries and they did surgeries and different things on it. So anyway, that's what brought me to the East Coast. Went to ORU for college, had a business, and then really the Holy Spirit just wrecked my life, and we ended up into full-time ministry really right after college.
Unbelievable. And so now you have 4 kids and just one wife, is that right?
That's correct. Just one wife.
Just the one. So you guys have traveled around the world as a family. This is pretty beautiful. You and your whole family have traveled around the world to all these danger zones. You said Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Afghanistan. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing. How do you find your way, or how did you find your way into these countries? I mean, how do you do that? Because most people, I think, would just have no idea what it would mean to go into these places.
Well, I had a had an incredible kind of inherited a lot of amazing relationships from radical people around around the world that were just doing great things for God in a lot of these countries. And so we grew up, of course, having missionaries in and out of our home all the time. We actually had a Russian family that was fleeing communism that lived with us when I was growing up as a kid. And so we just had a lot of connections overseas. And my heart has always been the nations. I think I was telling you earlier, it wasn't until really 2019 or 2020 that my focus even shifted to America. But before then, I really was just probably about 30 to 35 nations I would go to every single year. And in the midst, you know, I'm a recording artist and I'm an author and all that kind of stuff. But really, I mean, I was in the nations every month, pretty much.
Now, when you say you're a recording artist, you lead worship at these events. You don't just speak. So talk mm-hmm. about that. And how can people find if they want to find out more? How do they find
you? Yeah, they can go to letusworship.us. If they want to find more about what we're doing right now in America, they can go to seanfoyt.com if they want to find out more about me or our different ministries or music. I think
.us. You said that, right? Let us worship.
Let us worship.us. Yeah. I think, you know, one of the most powerful things, we're taking a lot of what we did in the nations and we're just applying it here. So, you know, we look at a place like Iraq, you know, in the midst of, you know, the first Gulf War, second Gulf War, ISIS, it's just this raging conflict always. And we realized that when we brought worship into the middle of that, like we saw God move in powerful ways. Same thing in a lot of other countries, Afghanistan, shortly after 9/11, we did the same thing. We've been able to do the same thing in North Korea, which I don't know a lot of people that have had that opportunity. It's just what a blessing to be able to do that. So we kind of applied that same principle.
North Korea. I'm very surprised about that.
What'd you say?
How is it possible that you were allowed into North Korea? I'm really surprised that was.
Well, they had a program where they allowed a certain number of Americans to visit under the guise of a cultural experience, really kind of just a propaganda tour by the state. But what they didn't know is that a lot of people that were leading those tours were believers, and they were bringing in worship leaders, and we were smuggling Bibles and all that kind of stuff. So it was a really cool opportunity. It was a short window that we had a chance to do that. My wife was actually, had just had our first baby. She was like 4 months old. And I told my wife, hey, I'm going to North Korea. And she's like, all right. But yeah, that was a real gift. But we were able to take those things we did in those nations. And when America hit a point of crisis, apply those, which is worship, gospel proclamation, you know, creating an opportunity for people to encounter the love of God and unplug from the narrative and the poison of the media. When we started seeing that happen in America, things just were changing everywhere we went.
Well, it's just so beautiful. I want to remind people, letusworship.us. Folks, you have to check this out. Letusworship.us. And Sean Foyt, Sean is S-E-A-N, Foyt, FEUCHT.com. If people want to find you, and that is that where your music is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or iTunes or Spotify or wherever else.
Okay. Sean Foyt, FEUCHT.com. So when I was on a prayer call with Jim Garlow and those guys back right after the election, and Jay Koopman, who you work with, he was on, and I said, boy, I would just love it if you guys ever come to New York again or whatever. And so you guys are going to be in New York again. I'm so thrilled. July 3rd. It's an
evening. Oh, we're excited.
5 p.m. And it's in the Bronx. I know you guys went through heck to find a venue. I was trying mm-hmm. to help people I know were trying to help. And it was really hard to find a venue. But finally, it's going to be in the Bronx, and I will post this all over social media. Probably it's at letusworship.us, is it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so anybody who can drive to the Bronx, New York, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, this is going to be an amazing venue. We had come to New York to Washington Square down in Manhattan in the Village actually twice last year in the middle of COVID, which was really amazing. We were baptizing people in the fountains, but we wanted somewhere with a little more room, a little more of a park vibe. And so this is going to be really fun. We're excited to come to the Bronx. We got a lot of expectations. The day before 4th of July, it's going to be great.
I was born in Queens, but I live in Manhattan. And when I heard that you guys had been in Union Square, Manhattan, I was like, what? How did I miss this? I mean, I was really stunned. And so I was hoping you'd come back. I really was. I thought, this is so terrific. So I'm just excited. And I want people to get excited and to understand that, by the way, if you can't get to New York, you guys are all over the country. I mean, if people go to letusworship.us, do you know where you're going to be over the next couple of weeks? Or
yeah, so we're going to be in Montgomery tomorrow, Atlanta on Saturday for Juneteenth, which we're real excited about. We're going to be in the weekend after that. We're going to be in Chicago at the United Center parking lot, which is where the Bulls play. We got the whole parking lot. It's just epic. That's next Friday. And then we're going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then Detroit next Sunday. And then, of course, what you mentioned, July 2nd is in Philadelphia in a really, really rough neighborhood where we're coming together with the city and a lot of the leaders there. July 3rd in the Bronx in New York, July 4th in Pittsburgh, right before the fireworks start. We're going to be doing a big worship thing there in downtown Pittsburgh. And then a lot of other cities, but I really wanted to highlight as well, 9/11. This year, we have a permit for the National Mall in Washington, D.C. It blows my mind, Eric, that this current administration never thought about securing the National Mall for the 20-year anniversary. So we did it for them.
That tells you everything. They didn't know Memorial Day was anything other than a weekend where you get to eat.
A long weekend.
binge on Netflix. They didn't realize that, oh, no, there's a whole traditional of Memorial Day, fallen heroes who died for freedom. They didn't realize that. So, hey, that's a cool thing that their ignorance has led to the blessing of
exactly
you and your crazy born again believer friends like me being able to go to the National Mall in D.C. This is beautiful. And I know you guys are praying and people will be praying because who knows what God is going to do. That is so beautiful.
Come on.
People are putting that in their calendar right now, I hope. I wanted to talk to you because I just want people to be aware of you. I'm sometimes, Sean, keenly aware of how divided the body of Christ is, or that there are people aware of certain things and they don't know anything about other things. And I know there are a lot of good people who listen to this program who just aren't aware of what you've been doing. And people need to understand this is what God is doing. Letusworship.us. We're going to keep you for another segment. We will air this a few times and we'll put it out on Rumble. And people, I keep telling people, folks, please subscribe to my newsletter so you can get all these updates. It's ericmetaxas.com is the website. We'll be back talking to Sean Foyt. I hope you're psyched. I am. Folks, I'm talking to Sean Foyt, F-E-U-C-H-T. Make a note of it, SeanFoyt.com and letusworship.us. Sean, I still can't get over the fact that we're going to be together by God's grace in the Bronx on July 3rd. I know that people from the whole tri-state area can get to the Bronx. So describe this for people. I mean, it kicks off officially at 5, but obviously families are welcome. And what does this event look like? What is going to happen?
Well, really, our heart is just to come together. You know, only a unified church can heal a divided nation. And I feel like that, you know, there's so many incredible people in New York. We're coming out of this brutal season of COVID and lockdowns and all the craziness. And there's nothing more powerful than to gather together outside on a beautiful day in a park and worship Jesus. And so you're going to see a representation of leaders and worshipers and musicians from all across the region there in New York City. You're going to see people that are going to be driving in just for a chance to worship. And then we're going to just go after Jesus together. share about what God's doing across America, stir up faith. We're going to pray for people. We'll have baptisms there as well. People that want to get baptized. You got to realize that there's been almost a year or longer where a lot of people haven't been to church. They haven't been to summer camp. They haven't had an opportunity to gather with other believers. And so we're just real excited. Every time we come to New York, it is just on fire. And we can't wait to see what God does July 3rd in the Bronx.
And if you wear a mask, folks, you're going to have to sit in the smoking section, just so you understand. There's a lounge. You can see through the plexiglass, but it's nasty in there. So this is just great. You're going to give me the honor of saying a few words and our friend Ken Fish. We're both flying from we're going to be in Kansas City with Mike Bickle and Francis Chan and some others for a few days. But we're flying in specifically for this. Really, really excited. The Bronx is one of those places. There's every kind of church in New York City, every kind of church you can think of, every kind of non-church. So I hope that the word gets out that everybody is welcome. We don't care if you're an atheist, a Satanist, even an Episcopalian, some Episcopalians, not all, but it's such a beautiful thing that anybody can come. And this is not divisive. This is unifying. There's going to be worship. So, Sean, talk about that. So you start with worship. Is that typically what you do?
Yeah. We'll let the pastors pray and greet everybody and kind of speak words of blessing over this city and stuff like that. And then we'll just go for it. We have an incredible band. They're all New York City guys that are my friends that have been there. Very diverse, incredible musicians. We're going to worship, go after God, and then we'll share for what we feel like God's doing, present the gospel, to people. One of the great things about these parks is that you have a lot of people that have never heard the gospel before. They've never responded to Jesus before. And so every city we go to, we see hundreds of people get saved. So we're going to do that and then pray over people that need ministry and probably end with, before the July 3rd fireworks. I know that happens in a lot of these boroughs. We're going to end with just another big fun time of worship. It's going to be amazing.
I love it. You must have heard some prophetic voices have said that they believe God is saying that revival is coming to America, big revival. Have you heard any of those folks saying that? Or do you know some of those folks?
Well, I would stand here, Eric, and not only just say I've heard those words, but we're experiencing it. I mean, we're going to be this will be 100 cities tomorrow. Every city the Lord sends us to, thousands and thousands of people show up. I mean, we were just in Raleigh, North Carolina with 4,000 people on Sunday, and Charlotte the night before that in the rain with 3,500 people. I mean, everywhere God sends us, like the hunger is unlike anything I've ever experienced before. And so, the Valley of Achor, which is the Valley of Weeping, or this last difficult season, has become now a door of hope.
It is so beautiful. And, this is the news behind the news. This is the news that you're not getting on the news. People need to understand, folks, this is what's happening. You want to know what's going on in New York? Forget most of the websites, conservative, liberal, insane, seemingly sane. They don't cover this stuff. This is the news. This is not just the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the secular news. What's happening in America? This is happening in America. This is astonishing. This is unprecedented. This is what most people in America would be interested if they knew anything about it, which is why we're trying to get the word out on this program. Tell your friends, folks, tell your friends to go to letusworship.us. Wherever they live, this stuff is coming to them. They can be a part of it. This is important. This is literally the most important thing in any of our lives. Jesus among us, using us to reach others. It is so beautiful. I don't know anybody who's not hungry for hope and truth and life. Even if people say they're not, they are. So this is just beautiful. Sean, we're basically out of time, but I want to make sure that people know these details again. Sean Feucht, FEUCHT.com. And then this letusworship.us, folks. Letusworship.us. Sean, we just got 30 seconds. Could you close us in a quick prayer?
Yeah. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in America. I thank you, Lord, that this is one of the greatest hours to be alive. Lord, that the enemy overplayed his hand in the last season. And God, you are bringing a response from heaven of revival to our nation. God, I pray for faith and hope to and expectation to grip every heart out there. And I pray, Lord, that you would obliterate all negativity, pessimism, weariness. God, fill us, God. Fill us, God, with the fullness of your presence in this season to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Folks, we're at NRB. Can you spell it? NRB. And as I'm sitting here doing the show at NRB, people just wander by. You see people, for example, Star Parker just wandered by. And I said, hey, Alvin says we need a star on our show. And here she is. Star Parker, welcome.
Well, thank you. I wasn't just wandering by. I'm actually trying to find out where the green room is so that I can get on stage and do my little thing that
well,
they
look,
want me to do
that's
today.
That's called wandering by. From my point of view, you're out there. You're not scheduled. And I go, grab that woman. So there are people who know everything about you and the people who know nothing about you. So tell my listeners, who is Star Parker?
Well, I really appreciate that because you're exactly right. A lot of people know the name, but they don't know exactly what I do. I actually run an organization called CURE. It's the Center for Urban Renewal and Education. We're based in Washington, D.C. We're a policy institute, and we work on welfare reform and all related issues. I guess you could say our mission is to fight poverty and restore dignity through messages of faith and freedom and personal responsibility. So we work to get the Congress to get out of the anti-poverty business, and then we work to get the churches back in.
So when did you start CURE?
Well, we're in our 25th year, believe it or not, but I've been in Washington, D.C. full-time with CURE for the last 10 years. And what we have three programs, not just the policy program to where we promote ideas of educational choice and get out of the abortion business, but we also look to reform Social Security so that money will go to IRAs instead of go to the IRS. And we've been doing that work there full time. So we have the policy center. We have a clergy center, too. So we have about 500 pastors that are serving in our most distressed communities and zip codes that we're helping them understand that the answer to poverty is freedom and personal responsibility. That is not a welfare state. And then we have a media center. And that's one of the reasons I'm here. And I have my own show called CURE America with Star Parker. And we own blackcommunitynews.com just to get these messages into places that need them the most.
And when did you, as a black woman, become economically and socially conservative? When did that happen? Were you raised that way, or was it a discovery?
Well, it was a discovery after I was born again, because up until the point I was born again, I was listening to all of the lies of the left, similar to what we're hearing today. Constantly, my problems are somebody else's fault. America's so racist, don't mainstream. You're poor because others are wealthy, and I heard that all my young life, and so I got very aggressive living for the day. I was involved in criminal activity and drug activity and sexual activity, in and out of abortion clinic after clinic, in and out of welfare after welfare, and then I got born again. And I just changed my life.
When did you get born again?
It was probably the mid-80s or so. And
in
then
the mid-80s.
That's
about when I got born again.
Yeah, I just got born again, and then I started just changing my mind. You know, God is a God of personal responsibility. So I got back to school, got a degree in marketing and international business. I started one. The 1992 Los Angeles riots destroyed my business, and that's when I began to work in public policy. I worked on welfare reform in the 90s with the GOP Congress, with Newt Gingrich and all the guys. Yeah. And then I started my group to say, okay, we just told 5 million women and 9 million children what not to do. Maybe we should tell them what they should be thinking about.
Very nice. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times people who have not experienced abortions or that world, they look at it like it's some horrible other thing. But, you know, you've just been public about it. It's part of my story. And it's a sad, very sad thing. But how do you deal with it? Because there are a lot of women that they don't want to talk about it because it's too painful.
Right.
But you said you were born again. How have you dealt with that mistake, putting it mildly?
That is pretty mild. But when you think about God and his forgiveness, he forgives of all sin. And we think about many that he tells us about and the grievances that they had and the depth of sin that they did. He forgives abortion the same way he forgives all sin. So once you've said, I'm casting this, he casts it from east to west, so you can't even see it anymore. But you're absolutely right. Some, they keep beating themselves up, and that's one of the reasons we have about 5,000 pregnancy care centers across the country now that will help women discover themselves again and know that God is not mad at them, that he forgives them and that he has purpose for their lives. And so I would suggest that people that are still struggling and can't seem to forgive themselves to get into one of our pregnancy care centers and let them walk her through. And not just her. Men are dealing with it, too. You know, Fatherhood Aborted was a book written years and years ago. And it talks about different stories of different men who reconciled after born again that they had killed an offspring. And they just really couldn't handle it anymore. But if you confess your faults one to another, you get healed, and it's fine. So we do both things, and our society does. The left lies on us. They pretend we don't care about the woman or the child. We care about both. We care about that as Americans, we should not be killing children. This is a crime against humanity, so we should not be doing it. But it's also we care about the individuals, not only what they're experiencing, but what their families are experiencing. So there is help available in every community across this country.
My wife ran a pregnancy center in Manhattan for 12 years.
And I didn't know that.
That's right. You think I'm a big nobody, don't you?
I didn't think you were a big nobody, but I didn't know that you could run a pregnancy care center in Manhattan.
In Manhattan, where they need it more than anything.
Yeah,
and she has, you know, she took it to the next level, and it's an extraordinary legacy that she has. But the fact is that if you care about women, this is one of the main ways that women are destroyed, wounded, messed up for life, and they have no place to tell their stories. They think, I need to shut up and be happy about my abortion, and they're not happy, and they feel something's wrong with them when it's their conscience telling them, you need God, you need forgiveness.
God. But you know what else? It hurts not just the woman individually, but it hurts all women in our society, because when you think about abortion and how it interrupts family and tradition, men are the ones that get lost when they don't marry. And so when women manipulate the biological clock or get caught up in abortion and that lie, then it's men that have no idea what they should be thinking about for their lives. And that's one of the reasons we have 95% of the guys in our criminal system who don't have any relationship with their dad. The young kids that are in our youth correctional system have no relationship with their dad. It is impacting every area of our lives as Americans. It's one of the reasons that we even have a housing crisis, because when marriage collapses, you need two places instead of one. And so it's, in social policy, we have many things that we're trying to fix, but it's all rooted in a problem of dismantled family life. And abortion is at root of dismantling family life and tradition.
Well, I just want to say it's just a blessing to know you're out there doing what you're doing. I think that, you know, CURE, now if people want to find CURE, by the way, what is the website?
CurePolicy.org, UrbanCure.org, StarParker.org.
So with a name like Star Parker, how tough could you be to find? It's that
well,
simple.
I'm still running from the people that keep, you know, trying to destroy me because they're trying to cancel me or kill me. And so I must not be that hard to find. I am in
You seem like you're doing fine for somebody.
Listen, if
people are trying to cancel you, that is a badge of honor. That is a badge of honor. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Star Parker, we love you. We love what you do. Thank you. God bless you.
I'm glad you caught me walking on by.
Just wandering.
Wandering.
Aimlessly.
Oh,
sadly.
Wandering.
Grab that woman. Alvin, I'm exhausted from the previous two segments.
Me too.
I am just, you know, wrung out.
I know.
I mean, first I did that very dramatic, over-the-top, almost effeminate reading of...
what are you going to do?
Of Uncle Muggsy, the sequel, which is Yankee Doodle Muggsy. It was kind of an Italianate, Southern European kind of, just the emotion was on the sleeve there. And I couldn't help it, man.
No.
But then we did an Ask Metaxas, and then we did a Listener Writes.
Yes, we did.
And, man, that's just high-quality content. If anybody listened to it or missed it, you need to go back, folks, because this will be on the test, I can tell you right now.
Please go back.
I want to say the other day, of course, was my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And my birthday, by the way, is also my father's birthday. I was born on his 36th
birthday, and I tell the details of that in my book, Fish Out of Water.
I understand the Greek culture that the firstborn son must be born on the same day as the father to continue.
That's in the contract.
It is.
And if my mother hadn't fulfilled that, I mean, if she delivered late or some weird thing like that, the marriage could be off.
Yeah.
It's really serious in the Greek community.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is we pulled it off. I was born on my father's birthday, and that was so we celebrated my dad's 94th birthday this past Sunday, and obviously it was my birthday. My mother's birthday is 3 days before. It's kind of weird. We didn't plan that, by the way.
Okay.
But then I find out the day after our birthday, my dad's and mine, is the birthday of Mike Lindell.
Wow.
And so my father's thinking of adopting him now as a third son.
I got a chill.
Yeah. And I just want to say, folks, that could happen, but it might not happen.
I wonder if Jonathan Cahn can cover any of that in his Bible prophecies and things like that.
I know. Man.
Wow.
Okay, so, but anyway, on my birthday, I said to folks that since it's my birthday, if you're inclined to do something nice for me on my birthday, please pre-order my new book. I don't mean the new book, Fish Out of Water, but the new book that's coming out in October. It's called Is Atheism Dead? And I am extremely excited about that. So I tell people, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to, I don't know where you can, you know, it, like, I don't know where it's available, but you can pre-order it from those places
and
I know.
And it hit, like, number one in atheism in all seriousness.
I was number one in atheism.
Isn't that something?
And I thought if more people ordered it, it would have dropped to number zero in atheism, and the internet would have been broken.
And then they're approved, your theory was correct.
I want to break the internet. Yeah. Help me to break the internet. Help me to smash it, because I want to go back to 8-track cassette tapes.
Help Eric.
8-track tapes. Okay, so
yes,
we were talking about Mike Lindell. So I said to people, please, if you haven't done it, pre-order my book, because it really makes a difference, huge difference. I can't, I mean, look, I'm getting canceled and banned, and, you know, by the way, John Zmirak.
Yes.
You can't do a Google search on him. He's being banned by Google.
Wow.
If you try to get a Google alert, Katie, who works with us, she said that. So this is happening.
Yeah.
And when it happens to me and my friends, I know, whoop, it's getting creepy. But we put on a happy face and we march on. And I say, if you can help us, we'd be grateful to you. You could help us by pre-ordering the book, which is called Is Atheism Dead? Also, you get the lowest price between now and October. They guarantee that. So if the price drops in September, October, you'll get that price when it finally ships. But Mike Lindell, when it was his birthday, I thought we need to tell people if you want to celebrate Mike Lindell's birthday, because the man has spent his own money and time and energy for this country. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Mike Lindell, he's too this or he's too that. Hey, folks. He spent many, many millions of his own money trying to get the truth out. So if for that only, I mean, I love him.
Yeah.
He's a friend. He's a dear soul. But I just want to say, like, this guy's a hero.
Yeah.
And so if you go to mypillow.com or mystore.com, obviously use the code Eric or you're going to jail.
Yes.
But if you use the code Eric, you get a big discount. And a lot of my stuff is available at mystore.com. And But we haven't recently spoken about the pillows and stuff. Folks, I'm telling you, you glance at the pillow, you're out like a light. The towels are so thirsty that if you, like, put it into a room, it sucks out the oxygen and the plants die. We're talking freaky technology. We're out of time. MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric or you're going to prison.